My grace is sufficient for thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Saint Gertrude the Great, who is our patroness for the Lenten season this year, she's the only woman saint who has been honored with the surname the Great. Usually that epithet is reserved for men who did great deeds. These include, for example, Saint Albert the Great, who was renowned for his learning, Saint Leo the Great, who saved Italy from the attack of the Huns, and Blessed Charles the Great, or Charlemagne, who re-established the Roman Empire as a Catholic state. Sometimes it is also used by historians, like with Alexander the Great, who in his time truly made Macedonia great again. But Saint Gertrude, she is called great because of her great soul and for her great contribution to Catholic spirituality. Saint Gertrude the Great often felt exhausted, but besides this cross, she was often ill. Occasionally, our Lord made her burden lighter, but as a rule, she had to bear her sufferings as patiently as she could. Once when Gertrude was sick with a violent fever, our Lord appeared to her. He was holding health in one hand and sickness in the other, and told her to choose between the two. But Gertrude said she would choose neither. She only cast herself on his Sacred Heart and said that she desired nothing but what he chose to give her. She desired with her whole heart that Jesus would not consider her wishes, but would accomplish his will in all her work. And in return for her generosity, two streams of grace flowed from our Lord's Sacred Heart to hers. And he said, "From the moment you renounced your own will, I have poured out upon you all the sweetness of my heart." Today's Sexagesima Epistle, which is the longest Sunday epistle of the whole church year, it gives us the words of Saint Paul to the Corinthians. Like with Saint Gertrude, these words reveal in humility the greatness of the soul of Paul. To refute the grave accusations made against him, Paul defended his authority as a true apostle. His opponents proclaimed themselves as true ministers of Christ, but he tells them bluntly that he is a better servant than they. And to prove his claim, Paul speaks about the many events he had met while preaching the gospel, which at the first glance might seem like boasting. Bishop Sanborn once told us in the seminary that priests have tendency to boast. For example, saying that I bought all these churches, established all these missions with hundreds of attendants, I built all these houses and convents, and so on. But this is not really what Saint Paul does here. He doesn't dwell so much on what he has done, that is, upon his successors as an apostle. Instead, he writes about his sufferings and his sacrifices. He promotes Christ's glory rather than his own, because, as he makes clear, he, Paul, has provided the weakness, and God has provided the strength. Paul also speaks about his inner cross, of his responsibility for the churches he has founded. He writes, "Besides those things which are without, my daily instance, the solicitude for all the churches." Saint Paul mentions this aspect of his mission only in passing, but the few words he does give, they contain many worries about the administration of the communities, about keeping or restoring peace, and about his converts' progress in the faith. Then there were visitors to receive, letters to write, and several other activities which Paul took upon himself at the cost of time for prayer and meditation. These inner worries took a heavy price on him. Today we would call it stress. Any bishop or priest can certainly identify himself with the worries and crosses of Saint Paul. Paul writes that he asked our Lord to help him, but received the reply, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for power is made perfect in infirmity." So Paul bore his affliction patiently and with resignation. He learned his lesson. The weaker the man, the more clearly divine power shows in his work. We all do well if we learn from humility of Saint Paul and Saint Gertrude. On Monday, we heard about another Operation Rescue when the consecration of the new set of SSPX bishops was announced. The news served very efficiently to distract traditional Catholics from the Septuagesima time, because it, of course, resulted into countless hours of podcasts and videos and commentaries. The same story seems always be repeating itself. The Church is in crisis, and it's sad to say, but many, even faithful Catholics, seem to have forgotten the teaching of Saint Paul he gave in the Ephesians, namely that the Church is glorious, not having spot or wrinkle, but it is holy and without blemish. Why else would we think that if the Church is in crisis, it is up to men and not God to come up with the solution. Of course, there's nothing wrong with talking about matters of faith, even publicly. But the whole idea that we, the faithful, would somehow save the church, it sounds so strange. The Catholic Church is a divine institution founded by Jesus Christ. We, the faithful, we will not seek to save the church. On the contrary, it is the church which is meant to save us by the grace she gives us through her sacraments. And Bishop Dolan's stance was that instead of being a problem to which man must find a solution, this crisis is God's punishment from which we must make reparation. And what is the better time for this than the holy season of Lent? But if you have been distracted by the events of this past week, don't worry, you still have one full week to prepare yourself for Lent. If God chooses to send a solution for the crisis in the church, no matter what or when he sends it, we should be satisfied with it. And if God chooses to send no solution at all, we should be satisfied with that too. Penance and reparation, on the other hand, are something we can always do. Bishop Dolan so much loved the devotion to the Sacred Heart and to the Holy Face, because through them, we will show our Lord that there are still souls in this sin-filled world who love him and want to leave everything in his hands, like Saint Gertrude did. What makes our little parish so great is, I think, its Gertrudian spirit. And I'm always happy when I see this in our faithful. I am from Finland, and we Finns, for example, the bragging about the size of missions, churches, and the number of people they serve has never made an impression on me. But I can mention one Gertrudian moment of impressiveness. One time we had a big liturgical event coming, and I was in charge of putting together the servers list, talk about things which cause stress to the priests. And I told one of the boys who regularly serves Mass that I'll have him to be the MC in the ceremony. But then several attendants of the event also wanted their service to be used. Since I had made a promise to the boy, I went to him and said, "Look, I'm having a real hard time putting together the servers list. What would you want to do? Serve as MC, serve in some other position, or not to serve at all?" And his simple reply was, "I'll do whatever you want me to do, Father." That, my dear faithful, is impressive. I think that this boy had the Gertrudian idea, what makes a soul great. And I learned a lot about it too. Nothing is more pleasing to God than the faithful performance, day after day, of the duties proper to our state in life. This daily greatness, with all its frustrations and annoyances, is for most people the normal way of working out their salvation. Everyone feels his own weakness sometimes. There are things we would want to do, but we cannot, and things we would not want to do, but we must. So it was with St. Gertrude, and so it was with St. Paul. But our Lord's answer applies to us all: "My grace is sufficient for thee." Actually, God has no need for any man, but he wills to use us to bring about the ends he wishes. While recognizing our faults, we should all be satisfied to do God's will wherever we are. And God's will is almost always spelled out for us by the daily obligations of our state in life. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.